for the first time in a long time, things are going rather well in the travel industry, methinks. And delighted to be joining me live on the line. As we always do on Friday, we go live to Abta in the UK and Sean Tipton. Sean, good morning to you, my friend.
Yes, good morning, Giles. Yeah, you're quite right. It's been pretty depressing the last almost 2 years, isn't it, really, since the pandemic started, not just obviously for the travel industry, but we've all gone through a lot of tough times. But finally, some good news coming out from the British government. And today, to be fair, quite late yesterday, they announced that something they flagged they were going to do, they're actually now given a date for it. But from the 24th of October, when you're coming into the UK, you won't have to pay for those. If you've been double vaccinated, by the way, I must make that clear, you won't have to pay for one of those ridiculously expensive PCR tests. You can take a lateral flow test. You still have to book it through a private provider and pay for it.
Right.
But it still should be a lot cheaper than a PCR test, which will make it much easier for people coming to the UK. So that's some good news. I mean, we'll have to wait and see exactly what they're going to charge.
Yeah.
And I'd recommend shopping around a bit, because even with the PCR test, some of them were charging up to £200 or ridiculous sums like that. It was one I used, was 43. So if you shop around for the lateral flow test as well, I'm sure you can get them quite cheaply. Moving forward a bit, what we would hope to see is what you have in Europe, which you don't need any test at all if you've been double vaccinated. That would seem to be working pretty well, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Can
I just a quick one on this one? Obviously, if you're coming in from a red list country, there are about 9 of those still. Obviously, that doesn't apply.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah. But I mean, to be fair, but there's so few of those now. They're mostly in South America.
Yeah.
As for the exception of Panama, I think Cuba's on the red list as well. But anyway, but seriously, but for the vast majority of countries in the world, if you're coming in from Spain, for example, yeah, you don't have to pay for it. And that's from the 24th of October. Still have to book one, as I said, because you have to fill in that passenger locator form, and if you don't have a reference number, it won't let you complete it.
Yeah.
But once you get here, you take the test, you take a picture of it, send it off to the, email it over to the testing company, and they come, and once they find negative, well, obviously you'll see yourself is negative. If, however, in the very unlikely event that it turns out to be positive, and I've been away a few times, and every time, single time, it's come back negative, then the government has said that you will need to take a PCR test, but that one you can get for free on the NHS. So anyway, it's still good news. It's a distinct improvement.
Just a quick one, Sean. I mean, because when the goddaughter was over here in September, she had to take a PCR test here in Spain and then a PCR test when she got back. Do you know you have to take a lateral flow test from the country that you...
Is she being double vaxxed?
She was double vaxxed, yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, next time she comes over, when she's going back to the UK, she won't have to do a test on departure. That was another thing they changed fairly recently, which is, for me, was the most significant thing. Because it was a bit, you know, worrying. People were thinking, like, what if it comes back positive? I won't be able to get back to the UK for a while. So that's gone. But she'll just need to take a lateral flow test. Book it in advance.
Yeah.
One of the companies they recommend you use, and get a reference number, put it on the passenger locator form, and take it either, you know, the day she arrives or no later than the second day since she's got back. And that's it, really.
Brilliant.
So big move forward. Yeah, again, hopefully, cross fingers, at some stage, we'll just scrap a lot of them.
Indeed. Really. Let's
look. But that at the moment is still a big improvement than a very expensive PCR test.
Shopping around it is always the big thing, as you were recommending, Sean.
Exactly.
Let's move to, should we do Thailand, because they were sort of opening up, and I listened to Bill talking to you about this a couple of weeks ago, and there seemed to be hoops to be leaping through and all sorts of things.
Yeah, well, I thought this was, I know Bill loves going to Thailand, doesn't he?
So, and well,
he knew more about it than I did, actually. He was telling me all the different restrictions that are in place. You have to take ridiculous amounts of tests. You can only go to certain parts of Thailand, etc., etc. Well, the Thais, who actually are more reliant on tourism than pretty much any other country I know of, are now opening up, and what they've said is they've got a list of 10 countries where if you've been double vaccinated, you will not have to self-isolate. You can travel freely. You still have to take tests, but I think it's only 2 tests, one before you come and one when you arrive. So it'll make it considerably easier to travel. I don't think Spain is on that list currently. Sorry, Bill. But I suspect that will change. The UK certainly is, and Germany and a few other countries. But again, the point is they're moving in that direction as well, which is to let people travel if they've been vaccinated.
I was quite stunned.
That's the thing to do.
I was stunned by the fact that the tourism is a fifth of GDP in Thailand.
Well, Thailand isn't. Well, I think the reason for that is, I mean, that's one of the issues I think I've talked about before, is that if you look at the impact, you know, travel and tourism gets a lot of knocking. It's bad for the environment, ruins countries. Well, actually, if you take it away, you see the immense damage it does to countries, particularly poorer countries who are very reliant on tourism. I don't think Thailand is a case in point. Yeah, it's a massive contributor to their economy. it really is. Once you take it away, it causes immense hardship. And also, a lot of people work in travel and tourism, they're not that well off in the first place. Mm. So if you take their jobs away, it has a really, really appalling impact. It really does. And not just on people's jobs. I mean, there are also, you know, certainly in terms of countries where people come to see wildlife, etc., there's a lot less, you know, people are a lot less inclined to look after the environment when they're very poor. They're desperate for money, but they've got no tourists coming in. So that actually has an impact on local, on the flora and fauna as well moving forward. So I think this has just gone to show that, you know, if you take tourism away, you know, it's all, yeah, of course, we've got to look at doing it properly and in a sustainable way. But without tourism, the world is a much worse place.
Mm. And talking about tourism, but we've got the COP26 conference coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and that is going to have an effect, we think, on the travel industry as well.
I think so, Giles, yeah, because if you look at, you know, every time you see an article, well, nearly every time you see an article about climate change, what's the image they use to portray in terms of damage? It's a plane taking off. So I was very curious about this, about, you know, if you ask people how much do you think aviation contributes to global emissions? We actually did a bit of market research, and people came back and said they thought it was responsible for 55% of global emissions. The actual figure worldwide is 2.5%. So, right. But having said that, you know, it is certainly going to be targeted by people in Glasgow. And I don't think, and of course, I'm not going to deny it, global warming is happening. That's undeniable. And aviation is contributing to that. But I think we need to put it a bit in perspective. Because of all, as I said, if you don't fly at all, as we've seen in the last 18 months, that it does in a way cause environmental damage by its very nature, because people aren't travelling and local people aren't inclined to look after their environments in the same way. So anyway, it's interesting stuff. So I was doing a bit of more research on this, because one thing about aviation, we do take it seriously. New aircraft are considerably more efficient fuel-wise than old ones, and airlines scrap the old ones. Obviously, it saves some money, but also better for the environment. But moving forward, I found a very interesting video on my favourite channel, my own YouTube, which was something that Airbus put out in September of this year, which I actually went onto my radar at the time because I was so busy talking about COVID. It's talking about this, that they are intending to have in commercial production by 2135 rather, so it's not too far away. Basically, they want to have an aircraft that's powered by hydrogen, which contributes very little in terms of global emissions, that tiny amount. So that's not too far away, is it, really? And also, battery-powered aircraft, there are massive improvements in battery technology, which means that in actually not too distant future, you could have short-haul battery-powered planes.
People are shaking their heads with that and thinking about an awful lot of sort of AA batteries going to the side of the wings here.
I said that to my colleagues, and they all laughed at me, and I said, look, I sent them a few rather serious academic texts to read, and they all were quiet at that point. But no, seriously, yeah, exactly. Battery technology, it really is improving leaps and bounds. It really is. One of the issues was that batteries are so heavy, was it ever going to be practical? Well, the new ones are much lighter. And also, there's so much improvements going on in wind technology and solar power. They will be powered by renewables as well. So it's all going in the right direction. Whereas at the moment, we just have this doom and gloom, nobody should fly anywhere at all ever. Well, actually, no, we can. And we will be able to do it in a much cleaner, more sustainable way, not too distant future.
It's an interesting way you put that up, Sean, because normally when we say cleaner and greener air travel, we always get the old hydrogen balloon, sort of, bought out again, and we're going to go back to airships.
Yeah, well...
If only.
I think the problem with it, they just don't move very fast. That's the issue. I'd love to travel an airship. There's one that's been talked about going into commercial production for quite some time. It still hasn't happened yet, but one day maybe it will.
Yeah.
And I'd certainly go on it, because it's just like, you know, floating along at 10 miles an hour. It wouldn't actually, but if I wanted to get to Mallorca quickly, I would.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, yeah, maybe across the channel, maybe on a day trip, but perhaps,
exactly.
You know, like like the Orange Express.
Australia and an airship, take you about 3 months from here.
Now, you're coming to our fair shores, aren't you, as well, I believe, to do some on-the-ground hard research.
Yeah, I'm off to Alicante. I've never actually been there before, but my other half, I think I'm talking to her, she's Spanish, and she's, do we have to go to Alicante? I said, I want to go to Alicante. And it's mainly because I'm looking out the window at the moment, it's raining. The clocks will be going, unfortunately, back not too soon.
Right.
Which means that it's going to be dark at 4 o'clock that's not my favourite time of year, so we need a bit of winter sun. So we're off to Alicante.
Somebody said the clocks going back and getting an extra hour in 2021 is somewhat like getting a bonus track on a Yoko Ono album.
Tell me about it. Yeah, extra hours sleep, but it's dark at 4 o'clock. Yeah, not so good. Yeah.
Sean, enjoy your winter sonar before we speak to somebody else next week. If people want to find out more what's going on, the situation in terms of travelling national flare tests or indeed hydrogen aeroplanes, where can they go, my friend?
Yeah, go to abta.com, because I think the most important thing at the moment, there are still restrictions in place, and if you need to know exactly what the British government is saying, one of my colleagues, Laura, goes through that with a fine tooth comb and writes it in clear, easy to understand English. So have a look on the website, it'll tell you what you need to know.
Brilliant. Sean, as always, thanks very much, and enjoy your trip to Alicante.
I will. Okay.